ask you to turn tonight to your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, just after Paul's lettership of the first and second letters to Timothy. So, first and second Thessalonians, first and second Timothy, and then Titus, 5 years old, beginning with the letter T. But 2 Timothy chapter 4. And these are the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul. His great ministry is now drawing to a conclusion. And soon Paul is going to die as a martyr for the faith. And he's well aware of that fact. And we're reading here tonight in 2 Timothy 4, the very last words of the Apostle Paul himself. So they're very, very significant. 2 Timothy 4, we'll read from verse 6. Down to verse 9, and then just one other verse at the end of the chapter. So 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Then just one other verse, and it's verse 21. The first part of the verse, and this is our text for this evening, and it's also our title for this message. Do thy diligence come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Let's pray together very briefly and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts to let us pray. Father, we give thee thanks, O God, for the words of testimony we have heard. We thank thee for godly Lord and for saving him and for using him and for blessing him and his wife and his family. But we pray tonight within this very mission that there might be others who will taste and see that the Lord is good and respond to the great call of God. I pray now for thy help. I ask, O God, for the infilling and for the anointing of the Spirit of God. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross. Glorify and magnify and exalt thy Son, for he alone is worthy. And I pray tonight that he will see of the travail of the soul and be satisfied. And I ask, O God, thou wilt make this meeting, Lord, the closing moments of to be a great blessing. And speak tonight into the hearts and lives of all gathered here. Give grace and give help. And in answer to our prayers tonight, exalt, magnify, and glorify thy Son. For it's in his name and for thy glory that we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is an old man. He is languishing in a prison cell in the great city of Rome. In AD 64, a fire burned in Rome for 6 days and for 6 nights. Many people suspected that the emperor Nero himself, for some political and economic reasons, had set fire to his own city. People began asking awkward questions, and to get the heat off himself, he began to point the finger at the children of God and at the Christians. And that just began a great wave of persecution in the Church of Jesus Christ. Many Christians, like the Lord who had gone before, were nailed to crosses and crucified. Others were thrown to the lions. Some were burned alive, and their bodies, their burning corpses, were used as human torches to light up the city of Rome at night. And others, like the Apostle Paul, were cast into prison cells awaiting their martyrdom. And this was something that Paul was very much aware of. In verse number 6, he says, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul was living, you see, in the light of eternity. And Paul knew that any moment those prison doors would open, and he would be led to the place where his life would be taken from him. But the lovely thing about it is, Paul could say, I am now ready. Can I ask you tonight, are you ready? If the time of your departure was at hand, are you ready? Donnie tonight in his testimony said we are all living, as it were, in the departure lounge, and that is very true. And very soon each and every one of us will be called out of this world and into the great eternity. And it is absolutely imperative that, like the Apostle Paul, we can say that we are ready, that our sins are forgiven, our souls have been saved, and there's a place in heaven reserved for us. And as Paul lies in his prison cell, he writes his last letter to Timothy. Timothy is at the other end of the spectrum. He's just starting out in his ministry at the same time whenever Paul is finishing his. And Paul writes this great letter to Timothy to encourage him in the things of God. While there's much to discourage the Apostle Paul, he wants to try to be an encouragement to Timothy. And he encourages Timothy in chapter 3 and verse number 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And maybe tonight in the meeting there's a young Christian or a young convert. And Paul's words tonight, oh, good for you, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The Bible says in the last days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But Paul encourages this young Christian, this young man of God, Timothy, continue in the things which thou hast learned. Hold forth the word of life, and encourages this young man to go on and go through with God. And yet, while Paul is wanting to be an encouragement to others, there's many things to discourage the Apostle Paul. He reminds Timothy in chapter 3 that we're living in days of great apostasy, days whenever people will no longer endure sound doctrine, but will heed to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned aside on the fables. And I believe, as Paul spoke about that day, we're certainly living in days just like that. Days whenever people no longer want to hear the gospel, no longer want to hear about the need for faith in God and repentance and the need to be born again. Paul is discouraged undoubtedly by the reality that false teachers will arise. And then some that stood with him have now left him. In verse 10, he speaks about Demas, and we read elsewhere in Scripture about how Demas was used under God to encourage Paul to stand by his side and to minister the gospel with him. But tragically and sadly, Demas has forsaken Paul, having loved this present world. And then in verse 14, he speaks about a man called Alexander, who was a coppersmith, who did them much evil, opposing the gospel that Paul preached. And so there were many things to discourage the Apostle Paul, and then also the fact that he's going to be leaving this world very shortly. And he realizes that he's leaving behind a tremendous mission field, and still multitudes are living and dying without a Savior. And so in light of all of these things, he writes this letter to Timothy, and he says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly, or to come quickly unto me. And then verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Paul desires his companionship. He wants to encourage Timothy. And there are also some material things that Paul needs Timothy to bring, the cloak, because it's getting cold. The summer is ended. They're entering into the autumn. Winter is coming on. Paul just desires even a coat to keep him warm in that prison cell. And then he says, bring the parchments and bring the books as well, because Paul wants to spend his time studying the Word of God, writing letters and trying to encourage Christians in the days that are left. Do thy diligence, Timothy, to come before winter. Dear friends, tonight seasons come and seasons go. And the summer now is fast drawing to a close. We're standing, as it were, at the brink of autumn, and we feel the cool in the air, and the nights are dropping down. And it will not be long before we're in the throes of winter. The days are getting shorter. The nights are getting longer. And there's maybe somebody tonight in this great tent and in this mission, and God's word for you tonight is, come before winter. Jesus Christ is calling you. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Time is passing on. 2022 will soon be gone. We're approaching now the end season of the year. Some of you perhaps are into the winter time or the autumn time of life. And maybe you're young and you feel like you've got a whole life ahead of you, but maybe you're closing in the winter time of gospel opportunity. And God's call to you tonight is come. Come to Christ before winter. As we think tonight about Paul's great invitation to come before winter, I want you to consider four very, very simple lessons about this great invitation. I want you to consider, first of all, just for a few moments, the sincerity of Paul's invitation. The great sincerity of Paul's invitation. Paul is writing a letter specifically and exclusively for Timothy, and he says, Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. Timothy, this isn't just something I want you to think about or consider. This is something, Timothy, I want you to do. I want you to be active. I want you to leave whatever you're currently doing and do your diligence to come before winter. Paul is authentic, Paul is sincere, Paul is in earnest, Paul is genuine, and he genuinely wants Timothy to come and visit him. Now, sometimes invitations are thrown out, aren't they? Very likely. Maybe you're planning a great wedding and you're writing out the wedding list and you think, now, who do we have to invite? Not so much who do we want to invite, but who do we have to invite? I think whenever we were getting married, that was why we had to do it this way. Some people you wanted to be there, and others you felt you had to invite because they might get offended if you didn't invite them, but the reality is you really weren't all that concerned as to whether they would come or not. We've all sent out perhaps invitations a little bit like that, but Paul is sincere whenever he invites Timothy. It's like he's saying, Timothy, I want you to come. I want you to do your diligence to come. Timothy, I'm earnest, I'm sincere, I want you to come. And dear friends, tonight, whenever God in the gospel invites men and women to come to him and trust in him and enter into his kingdom and experience his salvation, I tell you tonight, he's absolutely sincere, he's absolutely earnest. It's not just a token gesture. God's invitations are sincere. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The book of Ezekiel says that the Lord declares, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, for why will he die? In Romans chapter 10, 21, the Lord says, all day long have I stretched out my hands to a disobedient and against people. The scripture says that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And whenever the Bible records that the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatever the Savior said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He was absolutely earnest and absolutely sincere, because God knows the danger. And God knows the awful peril of living and dying in your sins and going out into eternity without a Savior. God was sincere whenever he raised up Abraham to pray and to intercede for Sodom, and to go to his nephew Lot and his family members there and entreat them to leave Sodom. God was sincere. God was sincere whenever he raised up Jonah to preach against the great city of Nineveh. And God was sincere whenever he called Noah to build an ark and to be a preacher of righteousness for decades. God was earnest and God was sincere. Dear friends, tonight, if God did not love you, if God did not care about you, If God did not care about this world and the people in it, he would never have sent his son to go to a cross. He wouldn't raise up men and women to declare the gospel and witness and evangelize and give out gospel tracts. He would never have given us the Bible if he wasn't sincere. He wouldn't call men to preach the gospel and have gospel missions like this and have you sit in a tent like this in 2022 if the gospel mission of God wasn't sincere. God invites you tonight. He calls you to come. And he calls you to come before winter. And he says, this is something I want you to do. I want you to be active. Do thy diligence to come before winter. The sincerity of Paul's invitation. You'll notice as well the simplicity of Paul's invitation. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Now the main word in our text tonight is that little word come. And it's a word that is very easy to understand. Timothy, I want you to come. And Timothy understands exactly what that means. If I have to come, then I have to leave where I am. I have to lay aside what I'm doing. I have to get up and be active. I have to go to the city of Rome, find the prison that Paul's in, and personally go and visit him there. Timothy, come now. Come just the way you are. This invitation was sincere. It was so simple that Timothy could not misunderstand it. He had to come to Paul, and he had to come to the city of Rome. Now I'm glad tonight that the Bible speaks about the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad tonight that the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And I'm thankful tonight that, yes, while there are things in the Bible that are difficult sometimes to understand, I'm glad tonight that God has made the gospel simple. The gospel is simply beautiful, and the gospel is beautifully simple. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, reminded them in 1 Corinthians 15 as to what the gospel actually is. And he says, I declare unto you the gospel by which ye are saved, which also ye receive, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's all about Christ, his person, his work upon the cross, his burial, his glorious resurrection. That's the good news tonight of the gospel. And the gospel demands a response. And what is the response that we need to make to the gospel? It's simply this word, come. You need to come. I believe tonight that little word, come, is one of God's favorite words. Genesis chapter 7, he spoke to Noah, and he said, come now, all thy house, all thy family, into the ark. And it was simple. There was one door. And Noah was invited to come and to enter in through that one door. And then in the book of Isaiah, God writes to a backslidden nation and says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Do I have a Savior tonight who's reasonable? He's reasonable. He's approachable. He's willing to talk to you and willing to listen to you. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's talk about your need. Let's talk about your sins. They might be red like crimson. They might be red like scarlet. But let's come and let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Matthew 11:28, the Savior said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I believe tonight there are people in our world, people in our society, and I believe as well people in this very tent tonight. And there are burdens in your heart. There are cares in your life. It might be just the burden of providing for your family. It might be struggling with an addiction. It might be guilt. It might be fear. It might be loneliness. And God invites you to come with all your burdens. All you that labor under heavy labor. And I will give you rest. Luke chapter 14, 17, the Lord says, come. For all things are now ready. The price has been paid. He invites you to come. It's a simple command. The word come is one of the first words that a child learns to understand. You can kneel down to a little toddler just up on their feet, they might maybe 2 years of age, and get down on your knee and just hold out your hands and say, come. And somehow that little child understands what you mean. You can even teach a dog to come, it's so simple. We have a dog at home, he's not the smartest dog in the world, but we love him anyway. And he understands the word come. Sometimes he's smart enough to pretend he doesn't understand what you mean when you say come. You take him across the playing fields, he gets on his scent, he chases another dog, you blow the whistle, he looks over his shoulder, and it's almost like he holds up his hands, I don't know what you mean, but he knows rightly. And tonight some of you know rightly what the gospel is, and you know that God's inviting you, and you can't plead ignorance of God tonight invites you to come. It's easy tonight to understand this, but so simple. And the sad thing is that in our world and in our society, religion and ritualism and legalism and tradition have made it so complicated. You ask some people today, how can I be made right for heaven and right for all? Well, you have to do this, and you have to join that crowd, and then you have to go through this ordinance, and then you have to tick all of these different boxes. And it becomes so difficult and so complicated. And sometimes people say, I just can't understand all of these different religions. Let me tell you tonight, Jesus Christ did not come to make people religious. He came to make people righteous. He came to redeem and revive and restore and save those who are lost. And he simply says in the gospel, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say tonight, well, how can I come? What does it mean to come? How can I come as a sinner to Jesus? Well, Paul said, Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. And he's just saying, Timothy, come just the way you are. He didn't say, Timothy, you need to do all of these other things before you come. He simply said, Timothy, come just the way you are. Some of you have heard of Sammy Spence of the Gold Men's Mission. He was a great man of God, and he had a wonderful experience as a young lad selling the Belfast Telegraph to men who worked with the shipyard. One night as he was getting ready to go home, a man came along, he was well dressed, he had an English accent, he was an artist. And he said to Sammy Spence, what's your name? And Sammy Spence gave the name. He says, you come here every night to sell that newspaper of yours? He says, yes. He says, can you come back tomorrow night and stand where you stood today? Because I've been commissioned by an art gallery to paint the shipyard in Belfast at the very Highland Spars. They want to paint you in the language. Sammy Spence was delighted. Ran home like the boy that had got the golden ticket and burst through the doors of the home. Tried to tell his mother what had happened and had asked whatever she believed. And she says, well, you certainly can't go back tomorrow dressed the way you're dressed. Looking the way you're looking. And she got a big tin tub out. She put it in front of the fire. She cut his hair. She cut his nails. She scrubbed him from head to foot. She got the brothers, the eldest brother's suit out of the wardrobe. She rolled up his cuffs. She tucked it into the back with safety pins. She rolled up the trouser legs. She put a safety pin or two in the back, and this big shirt on, this big broad tie, and big pair of brogues that were two sizes too big. And Sammy Spence, boy, was as proud as punch. And he went back the next day to the shipyard and was standing there with all his newspapers. And along came the artist, and he put up his easel, and he set out his little stool, and he got out his paints, and he put up the canvas. And he just was getting everything together with the brushes. And these Sammy Spence came over with a big smile on his face and said, sir, where do you want me to stand? And the artist said, who are you? He says, I'm Sammy Spence. You spoke to me yesterday. You wanted to paint me. And all of a sudden, the artist just began to shake his head and said, son, you didn't understand. Whenever I ask you to come, I want you to come just the way you are. I didn't want you to try to be somebody else or look different because I asked you to come just the way you are. And dear friends, tonight, isn't that the gospel message? God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you tonight just the way you are. and he invites you to come just as you are. Timothy was to come just the way he was. He was to come to a place. The place was Rome, and you come tonight to a place called Calvary by faith. You come to the cross, and you come to a person. Timothy was to come to Paul, and the Bible asks you to come to Christ himself, not to a church, not to a priest or a pastor or even an evangelist. You're invited to come to Christ himself. I see tonight the sincerity of Paul's invitation. I see tonight the simplicity of Paul's invitation. I also see tonight the seriousness of Paul's invitation. Do thy diligence to come before winter. That word diligence is important. Timothy is encouraged to make all effort to come. It might be simple, but it might not necessarily be easy. Timothy, you might have to change your plans if you're going to come. Timothy, there might be things that you'll have to forsake and leave behind if you're going to come. You might have to change your plans if you want to come. And so it is tonight if you're going to come to Christ. There may be things that you're going to have to be willing tonight to leave behind. You'll have to forsake your sin. Maybe tonight you'll have to forsake some habit. Maybe places that you go to, if you'll not be just at ease to go back to those places if you come to Christ. The Bible speaks about repentance, and that word repentance means to turn. To turn from our sin, and to turn from any thought of being able to save ourselves. Timothy as well might have to endanger himself if he's going to come, because Rome was certainly not a safe place for Christians. And this world of ours is not really all that safe a place for people who are going to take up the cross and follow Christ. Sometimes there's a price to pay. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow him. Maybe other things, legitimate things, might have to be put off. This has to be a priority. Timothy, other things can wait. And you need to come now, and you need to come quickly, and you need to come soon, and you need to come now. Timothy, you need to come before winter. And maybe you've got all the plans in the world of what you want to do with your life. Dear friend, the most important thing tonight in all the world, as far as you are concerned, is the salvation of your precious, never-dying soul. The old must die, but the young may die. And maybe tonight there are things that you're holding on to that you'll have to let go. There are things that you want to see to that you'll have to postpone and get right with God. A good number of years ago, I was asked of the Korean to visit in the hospital. A man had come to Christ in their church. He was burdened for some of his old friends. He said, I want you to go and visit an old friend of mine, an old drinking friend, his name's Norman, and you go and see him. And so I remember going into this little side ward in Coleraine Hospital, and there's this man, he's linked up to all of these different wires and tubes, and he's not a well man at all. And I sat down beside him, and I just looked straight to the point after a little bit of conversation, and I said, Norman, I came to speak to you about the things of God. I opened the Bible, I shared with him the gospel. I talked to him about those things, and he said, you know, I agree with everything that you're saying, but you know, I'm dying here, and there are many things that I have to see through first. I have to be by the will, I have to settle some debts, I have to provide for my partner, my wife, my family. There are other things that I have to see through first, so I'll speak to you again. I went back a few days later, I spoke to him again, impressed upon him the necessity of getting right with God. Same thing, I know what you're saying is right, I'll get around to these things, but there are other things that I have to seek you first. A number of weeks went by, and then there was a phone call from one of the local undertakers. Mentioned this man by name and said, do you know him? I said, yes, I do. He said he's got no church connection. His family said you were the last minister that he spoke to. Would you be able to conduct the funeral service? And the first thing that I thought of were those words. I have so many other things to seek you first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The word of God says, strive to enter into the straight gate. And far too many people are carefree and lax and apathetic about the most important thing of all, and that's the salvation of your soul. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Don't give yourself the benefit of the doubt. The Bible says, give diligence to your calling and election sure. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. This is the most important thing in all the world. Because it's God Himself. It's a royal invitation. And God Himself invites you to come. What better reason than that? Do thy diligence to come before Him. The sincerity of Paul's invitation. The simplicity of Paul's invitation. The seriousness of Paul's invitation. One last little thought in closing. The season of Paul's invitation. Do thy diligence to come before winter. He asks Timothy to bring that cloak. That indicates to me that the summer's in. They're now in the throes of autumn. Winter is setting on. Time is short, Timothy. He says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly or as soon as possible unto me. Timothy, time is short. You can't afford the delay. And Timothy, if you leave it to winter, winter is not a good time for travel. There are greater dangers traveling in the winter than there are in the summer and in the autumn. And Timothy, don't leave it to the winter. The days are short, the nights are long. The seas are high, the storms are real, the winds pick up. It's cold, it's inclement weather, it's difficult traveling, it's difficult navigating your distance and your journey to Rome in the winter. Don't leave it until the winter. Ships may be in port, it might be dangerous for sailing. You might not get a safe passage to Rome if you leave it to the winter. And dear friends tonight, don't leave God's salvation for the winter time of life. The word of God says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Come tonight. Come now whenever you've got all of your faculties. And you can think and you can reason and you can call upon the Lord and you can respond to the gospel and you can understand many of these salvation for the winter time of life. Health begins to fail. The faculties begin to fail. They're no longer as alert as they once were. They can't think clearly. They can't reason clearly. And they leave it to the winter time of life. You might not even see the winter of this year. People have been laid to rest this week. I conducted a funeral service last week. A man just in his 50s didn't see the winter time of life. Time is so short. Don't leave salvation to the winter time of life. Remember this. Paul said in verse number 6, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. And Timothy, even if you get to Roman winter, the reality is that I might not be there myself. I might have gone on to glory. And you might not find me if you leave it to winter. But Timothy, if you come now and you come and meet you then, there's all the chance in the world that you'll be able to find me. How many there are that leave seeking the Lord till it's too late? They try to find Christ, but alas, they cannot like the 10 virgins and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5 foolish virgins did not find the Lord. We left it to the winter. We left it to the winter time. Dear friends, they don't need God's salvation in the winter time of life. And then furthermore, Paul would not be sending any more in the future. This was the last letter that Paul would write to anyone. It was the last letter that Paul would ever write to Timothy. And then you're holding out and you say, oh, I've got plenty of time. The Bible says that God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. Who knows you can live 100 years longer and yet never have the Spirit of God speak to you again. Dear friend, tonight can I impress upon you one last time. Do thy diligence to come before them. This could be your opportunity tonight. Frank Marshall was a famous evangelist of what was once known as the Irish Evangelistic Band. He went all over Ulster and into the Republic of Ireland as well, conducting gospel missions, oftentimes in rural communities. On one occasion, he was conducting a mission, and the mission was about to start, and he was traveling in his car a day or two before the meetings, and he saw a farmer working in the field, turning over the hay of his pitchfork, and he went into the field, he parked the car, he went through the farmyard, he went up to the farmer, and handed him an invitation for the gospel mission, and that farmer was cruel, harsh, and he says, get the hell off my feet and get the hell out of my car, or I would run you through with this pistol. Mr. Marshall just backed off. He conducted his gospel mission. He was leaving the community a couple of weeks later. He was driving down that same road past that same farm. He saw the farmer again working in the field, but he thought, now I'll keep my distance, but I'll impress him on one last time the necessity of getting saved. Parked the car, walked around the farmyard, was taking his way into the field, and he saw the farmer just laying with his back to him over his pitchfork. Quietly bent up and he looked at him, he was motionless, he put his hand upon the man's shoulder and was just about to sing whenever he discovered that the man was a voice. His pitchfork was holding him up. He had lost his opportunity. He had missed the season of God's opportunity. The Apostle Paul was ministering to a certain individual, and that man said, Paul, go thy way for this man. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. You'll never have a more convenient season than tonight. Make this your night for God's salvation. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait till later on in the mission. I know that the mission is only starting, but who knows what a day may bring for you. Come to Christ tonight. God loves you. The Son of God died upon the cross, shed his blood, and rose again in his mighty deceit. Do thy diligence to come before me. I have a few little booklets tonight. I mentioned them last evening. A little one called What Must I Do to Be Saved? Another one entitled A New Beginning. I have these booklets at the door of the tent. There's also a little room there with the news. If you're concerned, you want to speak to somebody, maybe you lack assurance, maybe you've lost out with God, maybe you've grown cold, or maybe you know that you're not saved. You've got a need tonight in your life. I'd love to sit with you and open the Bible, pray with you, point you to the Savior. Let's just pray together and let's seek the Lord. We'll sing a verse or two of the closing exercise. Father, we thank you for the presence of God with us tonight. We thank you, God, for thy word. We thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, the sincerity of the Savior. We realize, oh God, the solemnity of this hour, the season of opportunity. And oh God, we pray tonight that the Spirit of God will draw precious souls to the cross. Lord, hear and answer prayer. Give the sight of grace. Humbly pray in the Savior's precious and worthy name.